Yo, 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 people, what is up? You're tuned in to the Pyramids Podcast, and you're there with your host, KK Brown. And today is what? Today is April 8th, 2024. I hope everybody is having a good April, you know, so far. I hope the April is treating everybody great. So today I'm actually here with something. This is episode 3, and this episode is a book review. This book that I am about to review is the book, a great book. I've actually read it about 4 times now, so I think that it is safe to review. I think so. Alright, the book that I want to review is Mastery. And Mastery, written by George Leonard. He's also the author of The Way of Aikido. I always have a problem with that word. He's the author of that book, and I'm about to do a quick review. Well, I hope it is quick. I'm hoping to do a quick review of this book. Okay, so I guess we can kick it off with what is Mastery, you know. And I just want to read. I think this might be the only. I don't know. I might do some reading in this book. But what is Mastery? I'm going to just read chapter 4, just like the first 3 lines. Right. So it resists definition, yet can be instantly recognized. It comes in many varieties, yet follows certain unchanging laws. It brings rich rewards, yet is not really a goal or a destination, but rather a process, a journey. We call this journey Mastery, and tend to assume that it requires a special ticket available only to those born with exceptional talent. Right, alright, I'm going to stop right there. Yes, so I've been engaging in this book for probably like the last 2 years now, and I've been trying my best to exercise however way I can exercise the things that I have read, you know, the things that I have learned from this book. And I think that it is a very helpful book, just in terms of, you know, not being very, how can I say it, proactive with what we do, and being very aware and mindful of the things that we do, especially when it has to do with career, you know. But mastery is a thing that you can go on the journey of mastery with any aspect of your life, whether it's love, you know, career, hobby, you know, stuff like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be career based. Alright, so I'm moving right along in this book. I'm gonna just do it by the chapters, so I don't confuse nobody. Alright, so in chapter 2, if you haven't read the book yet, I suggest that you read the book. I am hoping that I won't do any I won't make it bad for you by talking what is in the book. So I just want to do just a small summary of the chapters. Alright, so in chapter 2 it says, topic, meet the dabbler, the obsessive, and the hacker. So I guess on the journey of mastery, if it is that you're not taking the mastery step, you know, towards doing things, you're either being one of these 3 things. You're either being a dabbler, an obsessive, or an hacker. So what exactly is a dabbler? Let me run through a dabbler real quick. Alright, so the dabbler approaches each new sport, career opportunity, and relationship with enormous enthusiasm. He or she loves the rituals involved in getting started. The spiffy equipment, the lingo, the shine of newness, you know, them thing. Alright, so pretty much what he's saying is the dabbler is somebody who loves to start. You know, the dabbler is not necessarily somebody who does the long run, you know, who sticks to the path, who does what needs to be done. And pretty much them thing there. So pretty much that is what the dabbler is. Alright, so the obsessive. So separate and apart from the dabbler. As you hear, the dabbler is somebody who just dabble, literally is the word dabble. They just do a thing and stop. Alright, so the obsessive pretty much is let me just read the first few lines. The obsessive is a bottom line type of person, not one to settle for a second best. He or she knows results are what count, and it doesn't matter how you get them, just so you get them fast. Yeah, right. So the double eye is the obsessive is pretty much it's pretty much saying just somebody who is obsessive with the process of whatever new task is taken on. But just like the doubler, them really not stick it through. When hardship comes, pretty much when hardship comes, that is when the obsessive stop doing what they're doing. Pretty much stop doing tasks that they have committed themselves to. So, right. So as I was saying, this is a great book. I think it is a great book. And I think everybody should check it out who hasn't yet. Alright, so we move into the third person, who is the hacker. Alright, so reading the first few lines, a hacker has a different attitude. After sort of getting the hang of a thing, he or she is willing to stay on the plateau indefinitely. He doesn't mind skipping stages essential to the development of mastery if he can just go out and hack around with fellow hackers. Alright, so pretty much a hacker is what it is, a hacker. A scammer, somebody who tries to find easy way to deal with or to complete the task. That not saying that every time, all the time, that is bad, but I guess the hacker does this in a very menacing way, a way that really don't help the process none at all. So if, for example, if it is that a man get 10 lap for do him do him do him do 4 and act like him do 10, which the results, you don't get the results, but you know everybody believes they do 10, but you still don't get the results. So you know, things like that are things that a hacker does. All right so moving right along to chapter 3. Alright, so because this book was pretty much written in America, so it speaks about America. I am in Jamaica. I am born in Jamaica. I am in Jamaica, and chapter 3 talks about America's war against mastery. So I'm going to change America and say Jamaica's war against mastery. Alright, so I'm going to read the first few lines. If you are planning to embark on a master's journey, you might find yourself bucking current trends in Jamaican life. Our hyped up consumerist society is engaged, in fact, in an all-out war on mastery. We see this most plainly in our value system. Values were once inculcated through the extended family, tribal or village elders, sports and games, the apprenticeship system, our traditional schooling, religious training and practice, and spiritual and secular ceremony. With the weakening or withering away of most of these agencies, value giving in Jamaica has taken a strange new turn. So I think that kind of give you a clear view of what that is saying in terms of just society's war against mastery. I mean, because everybody is pretty much trying to get things as quick as possible, that forces us to be hackers, to be dabblers, you know, to be obsessives, because you know we have to get results as quick as possible. And and the master's journey is a journey that is slow, and you have to take your time to actually gain something with substance and something with longevity. And the master's journey is a journey. There is no real destination, as I think I actually read that in chapter 1. So yeah, so the master's journey is a journey and not a destination. So so most things these days is a destination, like a car, a house, you know, as much money as you can make, you know, things like that. So most things are destination. And society teaches us to reach a destination instead of walking a journey. So sometimes this goes against the journey, the master's journey, right? So yes, so as I was saying, just a quick summary of the mastery, of the book, The Mastery. You know, you should read it yourself so that you can get a clearer understanding of what this book is saying. But as I was saying, I think it is a very decent book. Alright, let's go to chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 4. Alright, so chapter 4 states, alright, loving the platé. Alright, most people might be wondering, or some people might be wondering, what is a platé? A platé from my understanding, a platé is pretty much the place that you stay when there is no activity, for work, in terms of you're not working. This is a break. You don't have any games to play. For example, being a footballer, you have season when it is that you're on off season. That is a platé, because you don't have any games to play. You don't have any training to do. You don't have anything like that to do. So the platé is free time. The platé is not having anything to do. So what do you do with that time? You know, what do you do? Do you practice? Do you idle? You know what you do with that time? All right, just reading the first few lines. All right, early in life, we are urged to study hard so that we'll get good grades. We are told to get good grades so that we'll graduate from high school and get into college. We are told to graduate from high school and get into college so that we'll get a good job. We are told to get a good job so that we can buy a house and a car. Again and again, we are told to do one thing only so that we can get something else. We spend our lives stretched on an iron rack of contingencies. Right, yeah. So, yeah, pretty much what I was saying in my first few lines a while ago before I read it. We're forced to go from one step to the other step, and eventually to come to a full stop. But the journey of mastery is a journey. You know, it's not a destination, it's a journey. Just like people who seek happiness. Happiness is a journey. Anything substantial in life is a journey and not necessarily a destination. Life itself is a journey and not a destination. Every day you wake up, you have to figure it out, you know. The whole journey of life and what life brings. Alright, so that was chapter 4, loving the platé. Alright, so we're going to chapter 5. I don't think I'm going to do everything. Alright, now I might do a part 2, just like what we reach right now. This actually is saying part 2. The 5 mastery keys. Right, should probably stop. But I'm going to just do this part. I'm going to do a part 2 of this, so that I'm not overdoing it. Right. Alright. Yes, as chapter 2 was saying, in terms of the topic of chapter 2 is the five master keys, the 5 keys of the journey of mastery. Alright, so key 1 is instruction. Alright, I'm going to just go through these 5 keys and then I think I might just stop and continue next time. Alright, hold on. Alright, key 1, instruction. I'm going to just read a few lines in each of these keys. Uncool. Alright, there are some skills you can learn on your own and some you can try to learn. But if you intend to take the journey of mastery, the best thing you can do is to arrange for first-rate instruction. The self-taught person is on a chancy path. There are advantages you enjoy. The license of not knowing what can be done. You might wander into fertile territory previously ruled out by mainline explorers. Some of those who have taught themselves, Edison for one, Buckminster Fuller for another, have made it work. Most, however, have spent their lives reinventing the wheel, then refusing to concede that it's out of round. Right, so so pretty much this is saying instruction is a very important part of mastery. If you're not instruction, you don't know what to do. Because you don't get it in a dream, but some people get dream. you don't necessarily just get it in a dream or a vision. You have to get instructions toward the path of mastery properly. So instruction is the first key on walking the path of mastery. All right, second key is Hold on. Okay, so key two. No, you know what? I'm not going to do all that. I don't want to run too fast. All right. So actually, in key one, you actually have different subtopics in key one. All right. So key one, I'm going to go through the subtopics and then I cut this off. All right. So key one subtopic. The first subtopic is the best instructors, the worst instructors. You really should read this book because I can actually spend like 24 hours going through this and explaining it, but I won't. Alright, so the best instructors, the worst instructors. It was the high water mark of a war that had surged all the way around the globe that I affirmed myself in the instructor's role. The top five graduates of class 44C, 44C of the Advanced Flight School of Turner Field in Albany, Georgia, brand new second lieutenants with silver pilot wings were kept back and made flight instructors, while the other 304 graduates were sent on to combat. Alright, so pretty much what this is, alright, so because I read it before. Alright, so pretty much what this part is saying is bad instructor, good instructor. He was pretty much an instructor in a flight school. When he just graduated flight school, and he had four students that two of them were really good, two of them were fairly alright. And he paid way more attention to the good students, because you know them either do want them do, and them think then Edmundo was one of the alright ones, which you know, so them did alright. So pretty much the best instructors and the worst instructors, he's saying that you should not, you know, matter how awful a student is, you should always give them equal attention just as the talented ones. So yeah, he can pretty much wrap that around here and put it together. Alright, nice. Alright, so that was key one in instructions. The next one, instruction, is the magic of teaching beginners. Many years later, I found myself once again in instructor's role, engaged this time in an art far more subtle and complex and difficult to learn than flying. I was 47 when a friend invited me to join an Aikido class. He was organizing. I had never heard of Aikido, nor had I ever dreamt of becoming a martial artist. That was 20 years ago, and I can now say that practicing Aikido has been the second most profound learning experience of my life. Teaching Aikido has been the most profound. Right, yeah. So teaching beginners, right. So he became an Aikido teacher. You know, was teaching blah, 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 blah. Go and read the book. All right, I'm not going to talk about all of that. All right, good horse, bad horse. My next part in the instruction, right? So good horse, bad horse is pretty much talking about breaking a horse, you know, like the good horse, like you have let me just read the first few lines. All right, in this book, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Zen Master Shunryo Suzuki approaches the question of fast and slow learners in terms of horses. In our scriptures, it is said that there are four kinds of horses: excellent ones, good ones, poor ones, and bad ones. The best horse will run slow and fast, right and left, at the driver's will before it sees the shadow of the whip. The second best will run as well as the first one, just before the whip reaches its skin. The third one will run when it feels pain on his body, and the fourth will run after the pain penetrates the marrow of the bones. I think you can understand that. Right, read the book. Alright, the other part of instruction is comparing various modes of instruction. Alright, how about the other modes of instruction? In most cases, audio and videotapes have only limited effectiveness. Learning eventually involves interaction between the learner and the learning environment, and its effectiveness relates to the frequency, quality, variety, and intensity of the interaction. Right. So the different learning, different ways of learning, and how different people can learn and will learn. All right, knowing when to say goodbye. All right, knowing when to say goodbye in terms of, let me just read the first few lines. All right, fortunate is the person who can find such a teacher, especially at the beginning of the learning process. Students at school up to students at school up to and including college often don't have much choice. Even those of us who do have a choice sometimes make a bad one. If you should end up with a teacher who doesn't seem right for you, first look outside. You might well be expecting more than any teacher can give. But teachers, as well as students, can be lazy, excessively goal-oriented, indifferent, psychologically seductive, or just plain inept. It's important to keep a proper psychological distance. If you're too far removed, there's no chance for the surrender that's part of the master's journey. See chapter 7. Read the book. If you come too close, you lose all perspective and become a disciple rather than a student. The responsibility for a good balance lies with student as well as teacher. When irreconcilable differences do occur, remember that the better part of wisdom is knowing when to say goodbye. Bear in mind that on the path of mastery, learning never ends. In the words of the great Japanese sword master Yamaoka Tesho, do not think this is all there is. More and more wonderful teachings exist. The sword is unfathomable. Alright, that is the end of part one of the mastery. I am going to continue this book in the future. I don't know when. But this is a part of Alright, so that is chapter one. Alright, so you're tuned into the Pyramid Podcast, and that was season 3, episode 3. That was a book review of the mastery. And you're here with your host KK Brown, and I'm about to sign off for this. I hope you have a great April. Have a great Monday. Have a great week. Have some great days, and be productive. All right, peace, peace, and peace.